Hi guys, this is Nadia Hilker. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead, and you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talks Through. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'm sending you all my love. Bye!
Hello, my name is Cassie McClincy. I play Lydia on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. Yay!
Hey there, guys. I'm Callan McAuliffe, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register, and I play Lara on The Walking Dead. You're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, this is Ross Marquand, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through.
Awesome.
Survivors, welcome to episode 137 of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm LT.
I'm Kyle.
And tonight we will be covering The Walking Dead Season 11, Episode 14, titled The Rotten Core. Well, we didn't get any voicemail for last week's episode, so we can actually start right in on this week. As I said, it's Season 11, Episode 14, titled The Rotten Core. It was written by Jim Barnes and Eric Mountain, directed by Marcus Stokes. And the description from AMC Plus says, Maggie, Lydia, and Elijah help Aaron and Gabriel on a mission. Daryl and Rosita pull a heist. So, Kyle, what did you give this week's episode?
I gave it a 9 out of 10. Show me the money!
Show me the money!
I wonder how much money it was.
Two duffel bags worth?
Yeah.
Because I don't think we ever even saw the denominations. We just saw bills getting spun on wrappers.
Yeah, no, for sure. And also, like what kind of, yeah, what kind
it
of.
It could have been a huge stack of singles for all we know.
Well, what'd you give it?
Well, I gave this episode 9 out of 10. Karmas are bitches.
Yep.
So let's go right in. We've got listener ratings. So let's kick it off with Dieta from Detroit, who says, I rate this episode 9 out of 10 spoiled brats.
Yep. I completely agree. And Glennis from Toronto gave it an 8 out of 10 diehard.
Renee from Atlanta says, 8 out of 10. Did Sebastian really call his mother the B word? Angry face. Angry face.
And I would like to welcome Mike from Asheville. He's been with the group for a while, but he just got caught up and is now contributing to our podcast. So,
yay, Mike, from the western end of the world.
Yep. And we're happy to have you here and being able to like get your feedback. So he gives it a 9 out of 10 future showdowns. I like this episode, just enough happening to keep it interesting, but the conversations were where the goods were. As my rating says, this episode set up some future showdowns. Daryl and Sebastian, Carol and Lance, Leah and Daryl / Maggie / Megan, Negan and Herschel. Yeah, we are definitely got a lot going on this episode.
Oh, yeah. And we've got Emma from the UK who says, 10 out of 10, the tide is turning. I enjoy this episode so much, I just thought 10 out of 10. Why not?
Yeah, why not? And Alma from Sacramento, she said, another solid episode. I give it a 9 out of 10 rating. So everybody enjoyed this episode for sure.
It seemed to be we didn't have any real outliers this time.
Nope.
Well, since we've gone through our ratings, that means it's time for Awesome Sauce.
Awesome Sauce!
And let's start off our Awesome Sauce with Dieta from Detroit. She says, Aaron's killing Carlson. That scene on the roof was everything. The look on his face after he realized the jig was up. Then Aaron picks up the gun and lets him have it. He falls off the roof, becoming Walker food to the people that he threw off the roof. Loved it. And she says, Mercer with the kill shots to the head of the soldiers who said, we don't take orders from you. Now you don't take orders from nobody.
Yeah.
Laughing face, laughing face.
Yep. I'll get into it later. But so that takes us on to Glennis from Toronto. And she says, that steely look of Herschel with the gun trained on Negan was intense. Negan doing all the quick talking to defuse the situation while Herschel didn't need to utter a word. You could see Negan's words sinking in and Herschel calculating and assessing them in silence. I'd watch your back, Negan. In a few years' time, it's probably destined to meet up again with an older Herschel in the Isle of the Dead spinoff, but maybe Negan will just end up making spaghetti for Herschel like he did for Carl.
You know, a little Chef Boyardee goes a long way.
Yep. Maybe a little side of pudding.
There you go. You can never say no to pudding. So, Emma from the UK says, Maggie and company at the start of the episode just looking like total pros. Some Walker threat in this episode, which I mentioned last week, we'd been missing for a while. Yes, Saren. Taking down Carlson and giving him the death he truly deserved. Mercer and Carol teaming up to help Daryl and Rosita, and then, yes, Mercer, showing those Commonwealth soldiers no mercy. Phil Mercer always had misgivings about the Commonwealth, but now he's met our people, he's found the support he needs to do whatever he's going to do. And Carol, she's so good at manipulating people, and she's playing Hornsby perfectly. I feel like the seeds are being sown for our guys to shake up things in the Commonwealth.
Yep. For sure. There was just a lot of good, things that happened this episode. And next we have Renee from Atlanta, and she says, I love the way Elijah came up from behind Carlson and his crew with his mask, all looking all stealthy. It reminded me of how Rick used to move, and I cannot wait to see Rick move like that again. I'm telling you, I miss that man so, so, so much. Tear face emoji. Aaron shooting Carlson without blinking an eye and not even allowing him to explain was epic, and his death could not be more benefiting. I always say what you put out in the universe is what you get back, and when those walkers tore into him, I was like, now that's what you call karma. Hug face emoji. Yeah, that was like one of my favorite things at the end, was just seeing him still being alive. You know, like, yeah, he wasn't dead after that fall, and he had to get torn apart. And she goes on, Daryl being condescending towards Sebastian was so good. Even when he put the blade to his throat was awesome. But then Daryl backed down. I'm going to be like LT and save the other stuff about this scene for my what the F sauce. Facepalm. Sebastian is definitely a sadistic piece of dog crap. angry face. Yes.
And next we have Mike from Asheville, who says, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, his acting is just phenomenal. Mercer killing the troops shows that he has not lost himself and knows there is corruption in the Commonwealth.
And Alma from Sacramento says, first off, this episode was really fun of WTF moments. I love how the CIA dude got his comeuppance. Talk about karma. Oh my God, Herschel/Negan confrontation was awesomely tense and was so unexpected. Freaking Carol to the rescue, coming in last minute with Mercer to help Daryl and Rosita was awesome. Oh yes, and now Carol is on to Hornsby.
Yes, she is. So thank you everybody for your awesome sauce. And I guess I'm going to get started and say, I really enjoyed that standoff where it was like, Maggie's got a gun. Ms. Negan has a gun. You know, Elijah has, you know, it's like he went down the line of, I've got a gun on you. I've got a gun on you. I've got a gun on you. I've got a knife to your throat. and Negan walks in and he goes, okay, everybody, let's all relax. Take a deep breath.
Yeah, I love that. Like Aaron, too. Like he walks in, he's like,
yep.
Jesus.
And just the fact of
how Negan ends up being, you know, Negan ends up being not only the person who calms everybody down, but the one person that knows everybody in the room.
Right.
And my next thing is, of course, Negan. As much as, you know, I know Renee wants him to die in a horrible death because what he did to Glenn and Abraham. Let's just say that he's had not only, you know, props to Jeffrey Dean Morgan, like Mike said, for just acting his pants off, but just the fact that he's had the best arc in the series in these last few episodes, because, you know, he's got him a new girl. He's going to be a dad. You know, it's all this stuff that you're going, oh, but he's such a bad guy. And, oh, he was so mean. And, oh, he was so. But as I've said before, he saved Dog. He saved Judith. You know, he's gone out of his way to help. You know, he basically saved Lydia.
Yeah.
He's shown up. And despite the fact that he didn't help Maggie in the subway, he's also come back and he's helped Maggie. So, like I said, his character has had, you know, one of the best development arcs that I could arguably say in the series. And I just did really, really enjoyed it.
Well, don't count Renee out just like it.
Oh, I know, but I'm just, yeah, she, I'm just saying.
She left the voicemails that we'll get to.
Oh, I know. And I know she was up in me going, you know, I can't forgive him. I can't forgive him. I said, well, you know. Anyway, so I do have to say that I enjoyed when Aaron gave Toby the gravity treatment. It just seemed sort of, you know, nicely symmetrical that he was chucking people off the roof. He got a trip off the roof. And when they showed him, you know, in his, and again, maybe showing my age, but when he did his post Wile E. Coyote splat there and he's not all the way dead, I was going, oh no, this is not going to be good. So he got a case of the chompy munchies. And the only question that I have is that he's going to be a crawling walker if he shows back up again, because if he broke all his legs and his bones and his pelvis and all that stuff when he fell off the roof, he's not going to be a walker. He's going to be a crawler.
Yep.
And I would just like to go ahead and say, in my awesome sauce, Leah. Oh boy. We got another one of those Walking Dead Marvel wait for the credits trailers that, after all this, the wild card that I was looking for was not the wild card that I expected, but Leah is the one that's out there causing problems for Hornsby's little missions and side deals and stuff. Not that we couldn't have seen that one coming if we were really paying attention, but I think if they made such a big deal about letting her go, we've got now a point of conflict. We've got an external bad guy to deal with, and we're going to have some good old conflict between her and Daryl, because I'm sure there's still some unfinished business there, and she's got a reason to come after Maggie again. After the whole Pope marked you thing, now we have another one of Pope's former people that's got another axe to grind with Maggie. So that's going to be interesting. I've got it listed in my awesome sauce that Daryl and Rosita showing the Commonwealth how it gets done. Because who do you send? Not a bunch of mooks from the Commonwealth, not somebody who owes a favor that's been washing dishes and baking cookies. No, we're going to send in some of our people who know how to, you know, wear that gut stained armor and sneak into crowds of walkers and kill walkers when it gets to be, time. So that was that was pretty cool, the fact that our guys were the ones who can get it done.
Yeah.
And I threw in a general thing for plot developments. So now we know that Liz out there, as I said, she's the one that's out there being a bad guy. That Hornsby's plans have sort of been exposed, and Carol kind of knows the deal now. So he's got to worry about the Terminus Terminator. You've got Daryl and Rosita who are finding out just how bad things are and how crooked things are and how many tentacles that Sebastian has out in the community. And, you know, Aaron, who was kind of down with the program there for a little bit, now he kind of knows what the deal is. And of course, you've got, you know, the Negans that now have an axe to grind with the Commonwealth. So there's a lot of people arrayed against our little, you know, ZA Mayberry. So it's going to be interesting to see just how all this breaks down.
Yeah, completely agree with that. I mean, I think Leia got a little bit from our listeners, some Leia weakness. And I kind of thought of the same too, because I kind of was leaning more of like, oh, I just kind of was like ready to be done with her. But since she showed up, like you said, well, there's a plot development, because she's now this wild card that is like now causing issues for everyone. And, you know, Commonwealth.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, this total unstable element is now mixed into it, like that's going to cause problems for everyone. And then let's see how they deal with it. But,
And what would you rather have, Kyle? I mean, would you rather have her as the unstable element, or would you rather have them do what they've done in the past and just have her wander off into the twilight and make them have to introduce some new faction to be the bad guy?
Yeah.
At least we know her character motivation, and we know, kind of know something about her, and we have some background. So it's a bad guy we can kind of get behind.
Yeah. And not a new one that's just like, oh, wait, who's this? And like, what do we deal with? But, yeah.
You know, and just to go on the whole random predator thing, is that we had wolves. It's like, oh, it's this new group, the coyotes or the bears or the bobcats or whatever they are. You know, at least this is not a dangling plot thread that we wonder what happened to her.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's always been one of my gripes, that they had this new threat group and then they just sort of disappeared and wandered away.
Yeah. No, true. Because it's always annoying to like just get some random. Yeah. Like this at least is like it's soon enough. I don't want her to last any longer than she needs to. So it's kind of like,
yep,
cause your problems, do your thing. We just basically saw you leave at the beginning of part two. So it's
right.
Like, let's just keep it at that and not like, oh, then we're still dealing with this into part three, you know, towards the end. So should be interesting though, because, you know, she stole Lance's stuff and he has no idea who she is.
That's right.
Oh, cool. Well, I basically was just like everything everybody else said was part of my awesome. Cause it really did make this episode so tense and like still fun to watch. I thought it was fun to like April was when she was talking to Maggie about knowing what Negan did and was kind of basically telling her like, hey, that's life in the ZA. Like none of us has clean hands. I enjoyed that little interaction between them because I just felt like it was like some hard truths, you know, being told to Maggie. To kind of like, not necessarily decide what's worth more, like her son's life or her vengeance for Negan, but just like we've been talking about a lot where it's like, okay, Negan's been with them for so long. He was in a prison, you know, so to speak, but he was still like, you know, was contributing in some ways down the line. You know, he killed Alpha. you know, and like kind of stop that. So it's like he did bad things in the past, obviously. But he has definitely been doing stuff that's like, hey, you know, like time has changed, you know, like stuff happens. This has been like what was the time jump again? It was like 6 years or something like that.
Yeah, it's been six. By now, it's probably been 7 years.
Yeah. So it's not like, you know, like, oh, he still has to be like let off the hook. But it's like what she, what was it? April? Either way, Negan's wife, like, it was just having that conversation with her, and it was just like, she even said, it's like, no, like, he has not forgotten, you know, and he's just trying to be a better man. And so, I don't know, it's interesting that I put that in my awesome just because I liked seeing that, because I felt like it was, like, challenging Maggie into basically her idea of what she's going to do or deal with Negan.
Yep.
Basically where he's at. So, then also I thought it was interesting Negan telling Herschel to like come find him when he grows up to settle it. And I'm like, wait, are you guys like, are you saying for him to come find you and then he's going to let him kill you, or are you going to kill him? I don't know. That was a little bit like, dude, don't risk it.
well, or the hopes that once he grows up, then they'll settle it, whether it's Herschel kills him or they come to an agreement or what have you.
Right.
I just thought that was kind of a noble thing to say.
No, totally. You know, it just kind of was like, well, okay.
Because it's like you said, Negan realizes what he did. And I think that the fact that now he's in a position where he's going to have a kid, then it sort of sinks in on him.
Right. Yep. Then that's what's another change too, whenever that gets revealed to everybody. Yep. And then the next thing I just put in my awesome was, but it was kind of more of like, I thought was a LOL, was just like anytime Annie said to trust Negan, like everybody else in the room was just like, you almost could see this big eye roll. It was like, I think she said like over the radio or no, she was, I think they were splitting off and she was going to go all with Maggie to go find the other people, you know, and get them out. And it's like, oh, no, you stay here. It's like, because I want people, you know, I want someone around that people can trust. And then you just look at Maggie's face.
Yeah, and they all had that,
Yeah, eye roll emoji. Oh, I loved it. It was so awesome. Anyways, well, that was all my awesome.
Okay, well, if we're all done with the awesome sauce, that means it's time for the weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
Okay, we'll kick it off with some listener weak sauce and begin with Renee from Atlanta. She says, how much time has passed since Negan went away? Because within that time frame, he was able to get married and produce a child, even though it definitely doesn't take long for that. She's got facepalm, laughing. His wife did say she was 12 weeks, which is 3 months, right? I mean, I know it's the apocalypse, but dang. She's got two little chin scratches after that. I have to mention Daryl again because there's not a world that I believe Daryl would be that foolish. And she finishes up by saying, why didn't they just kill the walkers in the first place instead of Daryl saying, gut up? We all know it does not end well when people are not used to walking through a herd of zombies. Shrug. They did take those zombies out really quick, and it definitely didn't seem like a lot to me.
Yeah.
And I'll agree with that.
Totally. All right. Thank you, Renee. Next is Mike from Asheville, and he says, the secret room's entrance was poorly hidden in the apartment. A fused clothes hiding a giant black hole. Seems like they could have constructed something a little better. Yeah. I thought that was one of those instances where it's just like, for television purposes, like the camera needs to be able to see. So it's like, it's just there. Because, like, you get the idea, but it's so you can still see.
Right. And I'm going to gripe about that a little more later.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay, Dieter from Detroit says, Leah was my weak sauce. How the hell did Leah take down a whole convoy of Commonwealth soldiers by herself? That don't even make sense. They had guns. She had nothing. I knew she would show up again. Hate Maggie missed that shot, but she won't next time. And again, the Commonwealth soldiers are just pitiful. Not much soldiering going on with them. And she's got big, I guess that might be a roll on the floor laughing, times three.
Yeah, the stormtroopers obviously are not that great. And you mentioned that last week. So
it's yes, like, we did.
All right. Next is Emma from the UK. And she says, Daryl Rosita doing Sebastian's dirty work. I guess they didn't have much choice, but isn't he going to keep coming back with more tasks for them? Question mark. Yep. Not so much weak, but a missed opportunity, perhaps. I thought Aaron and Gabriel was going to come on the radio to Lance at the end and tell him that they're on to him. But maybe the time is not quite right yet. Best to regroup and formulate a plan. Yeah, I thought the same thing, too, but
I'll agree with that. I'm
kind of glad they didn't.
Okay, and we've got some weak sauce from Alma from Sacramento, who says, of course I'm not thrilled about Leah being back. Cuss face. Maggie should have finished her off when she had the chance. Now this hooker is going to bring trouble unto our people. She goes on to say, freaking Sebastian threatening the kids had me, more cuss faces, can't wait for him to be taken out. And she finishes up by saying, well, this episode had me going crazy. Can't wait to hear y'all's thoughts.
Yep, freaking Sebastian. He just gets worse and worse every time we see him.
And the part that I hate so much about it is he was on Talking Dead again, and he seems like such a genuinely nice guy. And I'm going, you're a good actor, man. But I still think it's going to be funny when he starts going to cons. It's like, I hate your character. You're a nice guy, but I hate your character.
Yep. There's going to be like a lot of like fans trying to like, you know, yep. However he dies, like, hey, let's do that scene again.
Yep.
Oh, well, as long as he's into it and knows where he is.
Yes.
I would imagine that would be very hard to do.
Yep. Well, let's kick off our weak sauce, and I guess I can start this time. Mm-hmm. And this is me grumbling about secret doors. And for those of you who aren't watching, there's air quotes, secret doors. Obviously, the people who did the secret doors in the apartment are the same people who did the secret doors back in the Commonwealth. It's like, okay, so I totally get why you would do it. You pick a point that's not necessarily a logical point of egress. It's next to the next apartment. You make an entrance or a doorway. If you were trying to make it harder for the people coming in and out, you don't make the hole so big. And as we've already said, if the wall is beige, don't put a brown or a black or a dark blanket over it, because that's kind of obvious. Put more clothes in the closet. You know, make the hole lower. You know, do something other than, hey, I wonder why that blanket is tacked up in that closet. Maybe it's a secret door. And, yeah, it did kind of seem for the escape room that I guess this wasn't necessarily like a hidden escape room, but it's kind of, there's a closed door with a keypad in the living room. I wonder where that goes. I mean, you've got this big, big house. I guess if I was going to be sneaky and had a big, big house like that, I would put my hidey hole somewhere a little hidier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my next thing on weak sauce is I'm going to complain about Toby's radio antenna on the roof. I want to do that for one reason, is that it's a directional antenna, which I get, which means that it's going to be easier for him to pick up signals at a range, and it's going to maybe, according to the TV, able for him to transmit at a longer range. But what kind of antenna did Hornsby have? He had his regular old VHF rubber duck on his walkie. And I went, I'm officially calling shenanigans on this, because Toby would have been able to hear him, but I don't think he would necessarily have been able to have transmitted at him, because I don't think that antenna would have strengthened and directionalized the signal enough to make it all that effective. Now, if Hornsby would have had an antenna like that on the roof, pointed in the same direction as the directional antenna that was on the roof of the apartment complex, I could go for that. But it just went, you know, my inner radio nerd was going, I don't think you can do that.
Well, that's a...
It did make a lovely plot point, however, yeah. But...
No, to add to that, like, my question then is, like, he had that setup where he, like, extends the antenna, but then he still was using his handheld walkie, right? Like, does it need to be connected into that antenna to be, like, broadcasting?
Or it was. Well, it was. If you notice, when they handed it to him, it had a piece of coax coming out of the antenna hole.
Oh, did it? Okay, yeah. But I didn't see that with, like, Hornsby, though. Or maybe no. I just didn't miss. Yeah.
And that's no. Hornsby still just had a walkie with a regular antenna. And that was my point. Is
yeah, it's like
you could have done a one-way signal. You know, Toby could have said something and Hornsby might have heard him, but it wouldn't have been the other way around.
Right. little details.
That was just my little complaint about that. We noticed a couple of times in this episode, I think it was Mercer. So Mercer's got a rifle in his hands and he's going pow, 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 shooting walkers. And then he goes click, which is the universal TV show code that you're out of ammo. And so what did he do? He slung the rifle and pulled his axes out. Now, one thing that I've noticed about all these Commonwealth rifles is they have fixed bayonets. And just for those of you that, again, can't see our show notes, I said it's the pokey thing on the end of the rifle that's used for stabby. If it was me, and if he was a veteran of a certain vintage, he would have stabbed him with the bayonet. And if you will permit me to do so, because it's something that was ingrained to me in my youth when I was in Oklahoma, is what is the spirit of the bayonet? Kill, kill, kill. What makes the grass grow? Blood, blood, blood. And I know that there's probably two or three Army guys and two or three Marines that are having cold chills now. Hopefully I did that justice. But the point is, if you've got a rifle with a bayonet, you don't get rid of the rifle to pull out axes. That takes time. You've already got a long, stabby thing so that they're not close to you, because an axe, you still have handle length, arm length. With the rifle, you've got a buttstock and a bayonet. So you can go stab, stab. You can go, you know, whack them with the buttstock. You can smash them with the butt plate. That's why there's a pokey thing on the end of the rifle.
Use it.
That's what I'm saying, is that you have a pole arm. And just for a few people out there that are in the know, I understand the M16 is not the ideal bayonet platform. However, it still will work. And I just fault them for the fact that if they're going to have that freaking bayonet stuck on the end of the rifle permanently anyway, you might as well freaking use it.
Yeah.
To their credit, the CRM uses their bayonets.
Yep, they do.
They have pokey things on the end of their rifles and they use them. So why can't the Commonwealth? Or is that just a stylistic choice to make their guns look more awesome? Anyway, so my next bit of weak sauce is, so when they were getting in the truck, Herschel was walking away. I think he was sitting on the stump And I thought they had a shot of him walking back towards the house when they left. So how did Herschel stow away in the truck?
Good question.
You know, has Herschel been, you know, secretly training in ninja skills and parkour? You know, did he just like suddenly go, you know, leapy divey, roll into the back of the truck? Did he do the Indiana Jones and hide underneath it? I do believe that there was not anything in the bed of the truck he could have hidden in. As I recall, it was just like water cans and something else. There wasn't the, you know, conveniently placed tarp for him to crawl under.
Right. Yeah. And like how many times did they go back to the truck? Or, you know, it's not like they just left it and then just like, we never
how
came
many
back.
Times? Yeah. How many times did they walk around the back of the truck?
Right. Right. Yep. That's,
I was just going, okay, it's a Carl thing to do. So I totally get that he would do it if he got the chance, but it just, I would just like, so where was he?
Right.
And everybody else did it. So I don't have as much problem with Leah taking down everybody at the wagon load of rifles. The problem that I had was that, so how did all those crates get opened and everything get scattered about if they were transporting a load of rifles and normally they're carrying their own? Was that just to show the viewers, hey, this is the wagon load of rifles? Mm-hmm. If she's by herself and she's busy taking everybody out, I don't think she would have time to make a mess looting and pillaging. And besides, if it was just her by herself and her whole purpose was to steal this wagon, why make more work for yourself by scattering everything that you took down those guys for to steal the wagon in the first place, so that you have to go back around and pick everything up and put it back in the wagon so you can ride away into the sunset?
Well, that's the question.
It's a question, because, you know, the other thing would be, and I'm going to throw it into the weeks, once again, they are violating my primary rule of, I just killed a bad guy with a rifle. If you've only got the magazine that's in the rifle when you took it off the dead guy, you did it wrong. The Commonwealth guys had mag pouches on their belts, and I didn't see anybody stealing belts off of the dead guys. Because, as Kyle is well aware, what is LT's first rule of survival in the ZA? Take it off, sort it out later.
Yes.
If you manage to steal a rifle, it's only as good as the number of rounds you have to fire out of it. If they have more bullets and they are dead, they do not need them, and you need to take them. Once again, it's the fact of, you know, they had a rifle. But that's all they had. One rifle, one mag. I just go and take bullets.
Yeah, they don't, you know, ever search or take.
Yeah. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. Maybe I've played, you know, D&D and Fallout for too many years, but if you kill the bad guy, you take their stuff. It's just sort of an implicit rule.
Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious.
So, Kyle, what do you have for weak sauce?
It's kind of like I'm changing my mind a little bit, but, I mean, I kind of was on board a little bit of, like, I guess Leah was kind of being what I was kind of putting in my weak. I mean, I guess part of it was because I thought it was kind of over with her. It's like, I kind of want to, or I was thinking where it was like, okay, after we dealt with the Reapers, you know, it's like, okay, there was that big deal, they're gone, and then we're moving on to the Commonwealth storyline, and then it's like, okay, now here we are with Hornsby, and like, you know, just all the stuff going on there. But like, for her to come back as being a little twist, like you said, it kind of does make me change, like, okay, well, there's still some legs to her. So as long as they don't overdo it, I guess that's my only thing, that I don't want her to be around much longer. Just like kind of serve your purpose, cause some chaos, and then just like let's that be it. Because, you know, we only have so many episodes left. You know, it's kind of like I don't want anything being strung out. We need to get to the point, you know, and like, okay, so I don't want her to be back in the day where it was like, oh, this was like basically a whole season long ordeal, you know, dealing with this one person or like what, you know, or whatever. It's just
make or the point. Or a 2-season long deal.
Or, yeah. So
we don't have that much time left, but yeah. Still.
So I don't know. I guess that was just kind of my agreement with some of our listeners have been saying of just about like that was kind of one of their weaknesses or weak spots. So I hope they don't like just, I hope she just serves her purpose and we can move on.
Yep. Okay. Well, if we're all done with the weak sauce, it's time for the what sauce.
What?
All right. We'll kick off our what sauce with Dieta from Detroit, who says, what sauce? Negan got a boo thing. He done loved up and got a baby on the way. Yes, he does.
All right. Well, next comes from Mike from Asheville. He says, what/frustration sauce? Where is this season going? We are heading to the final episodes of the series, and I don't feel much resolution on the horizon. Is CRM not going to make an appearance on the show again? Commonwealth just feels like any other season. Too good to be true community and corrupt people, and oh, let's sprinkle in another bad guy. At this point, I just want to see some type of ending taking shape. We already know Maggie and Negan head to New York. That info kind of kills any suspense of what's going to happen. I'll see this through to the end, but I'm getting restless with it. Wrap it up and let's move on to newer stories and different characters. I agree that it's just, we know time is running out.
Yep. Okay. Emma from the UK says, the CW Army are so useless they can't find a curtain in a wardrobe. Actually, I really don't expect much from them by this point, so that was probably to be expected. I was surprised that Sebastian knew the walk guts trick, as the Commonwealth seems to have so little real ZA experience. Negan is married and Annie is pregnant. I'm a non-comic reader, so this was a what for me. Imagine Negan's worldview will change a lot now that he's going to be a father, made his encounter with Herschel even more poignant. Why did Rosita and Daryl shut the panic room door when April said she was locked in when the power cut off? The power could have cut any time and they'd have all been stuck in there.
I thought the same thing too. Like Daryl opened up that safe with his, you know, with this crowbar thing or whatever. So, I mean,
yep.
I think they could actually, that makes me want to go back. It's like, where the hinges on the inside of the door, or were they on the outside? Because you could have just popped those off. And
they were on the inside. I think the door opened in, and that's probably why he shut the door.
Yeah. But I'm saying you could totally have taken the door off, unless it was like somehow like locked in, you know.
Well, it's a panic room. We're gonna assume that it's an armored door.
Yeah. Well, all right, well, next is Renee from Atlanta. She says, serious, Daryl, how dare you, of all people, allow that sadistic piece of crap to manipulate you into going to a house and retrieving some money and drugs for him? Eye roll. Rosita was only following your lead, so I don't blame her. But you, Daryl, you didn't even question why they would change your post after you just told you and Rosita to go somewhere else. You just said, okay. That is not the Daryl I know. Thinking face. You do realize that once you do stuff for people like that, they're going to keep trying you. I really hope that Mercer has shut that mess down, because he definitely does not seem to be okay with it. LT, I called it also when I said Annie was Negan's boo, but I definitely didn't think they were married, and I sure didn't think that they were with child. I really do think Maggie will have the heart to kill Negan now, because Annie seems like such an endearing person that I don't believe she would put her or her child through the pain that Negan caused her and Herschel to go through. I understand also why Annie and her crew does not feel the same way about Negan that we tend to feel, because they didn't know Glenn. It's like Annie said, they all have done bad things and things they regret, but they have to live to learn with them. Or live with them and try to become better people, which is what I'm beginning to see with Negan. I feel that he told the Riverbend crew the truth about the things he did, and he didn't try to cover it up, and he seems very remorseful. I must admit, he had me in all my feelings when he was talking to little Herschel. I could see and feel Negan's pain. My friend always tells me I'm a pit bull with no teeth because I talk a good game, but I'm really a softy, and that's all it takes is for someone to give me a sad story and I will forgive them so quick, which definitely seems to be the case with Negan. I think that was my problem with Negan. He wasn't remorseful, and that made me dislike him even more. Now that I see he is remorseful, I can forgive him, but trust me, I will never forget what he did to Glenn and Abraham, and Maggie will never forget either. When Maggie says if something happens to little Herschel, and then Negan says it will have to happen to me first, he had me all choked up. And then to top it off, Negan said, go home, be a good boy, help your mom, and in a few years, come find me and we'll settle our unfinished business. Ball face, balling face, balling face. It was like, I'm done. But then I'm like, Maggie, the audacity of you when you should have made some sure someone was watching your kid. I do understand that taking your kid to a possible shootout would not be ordeal, but at least make sure he understands why you're doing what you're doing, and that whomever is in charge of him while you're gone is watching him properly. Whoever you entrust your son with needs to be reprimanded real good.
Well, it's like we said, how many times did Carl run off?
Yeah, true. And yeah, there's whoever was... Well, that's the thing. I'm sure everybody's probably like, oh, that's Maggie's son. He can do whatever, you know, like, oh, he's just walking over there. He's doing this. They're not really going to be like, you go stay in your room and like, don't come out until, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Thank you, Renee.
So, our what sauce. I started off mine with, so, did the young lady with the scythe that was so prominently featured in last week's episode, did she get tossed off the roof, or did she just vanish into the woodwork? Because I didn't see her again.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate the fact that, you know, they gave her that great shot in the courtyard, and she was carrying this very obvious type weapon, but then we didn't see her again. So I guess she did get tossed off the roof, but it just was like, you know, if you give somebody that much face time, at least let them get a kill or two, you know, let them show up.
Yeah, do something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause she was in last week's episode, and like, actually when they first came up to the entrance, she was actually in the window on the second floor. Like, it was like this ominous, like, oh, hey. And then she comes out, made this whole, like, you know, entrance or whatever. But yeah, it's like, okay. And then that was it.
I think that's again, you missed an opportunity there, kids.
Yep.
It would have been nice to have at least seen her again, or at least let the viewers know that she, you know, came to an untimely end.
Or she took off, or like she...
Something.
Yeah, did something.
Rather than, you know, we got a herd of anonymous followers that were getting chucked off the roof, and anonymous people that were running around with, you know, Annie, Negan, Maggie, Aaron, Gabriel. But I just feel like if you're going to give somebody some FaceTime, at least let us know what happened to them. Just like everybody else said, I had hot sauce, and man, Negan didn't waste no time getting busy.
Nope.
And I'm like, it's obviously been a while. I'll just say that it's been a while. So there wasn't no sloth or lethargy in that department, apparently. So, riddle me this, Kyle. Were all the walkers that were in the lobby of that big house, all the failed heist teams, was that like Ocean's 8, Ocean's 9, Ocean's 6?
I mean, it must have been, at least inside the house.
That's what I'm saying. Were they having a frat party the day the apocalypse kicked off and everybody's still just hanging around? I mean, normally when we saw a herd at a location, either they gathered there for a reason or they were brought there for a reason or there was some reason to have a dense population in that place. And to me, it just seemed odd that you've got this big house in the middle of the country that's just chock slap full of walkers. Mm-hmm. Unless, as I said, these were all the missing people, dopes, stooges, people that owed Sebastian a favor who died ingloriously in a heap trying to get into the panic room. And as far as that goes, it's obviously not a good idea to be one of Sebastian's lackeys. Yeah. Not a good idea. Because as we saw, if you want to go with my premise that these were all the failed heist team members that were stuck in that room, not good odds that way. And then, of course, the two guys that were kind of on the payroll that were in the Commonwealth military that Mercer headshotted, obviously not a good time to be on the take when the boss is sort of an honest guy. So I'm wondering how many more people owe Sebastian favors or does he have any pull with that are going to show up? And it's like, Sebastian said he'd take me to the Hamptons for the weekend if I did this or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was interesting though that those stormtroopers even said to Morgan, it's like, oh, we don't answer to you. It's like because they're, I guess, on Sebastian's orders or what, somehow that is a thing that even Mercer knows that it's like, okay, that's like kind of like that's where my power or my office ends. And then,
and it could just be that he was just looking the other way to get along. And
yeah, like not upset things.
And it could be the situation where they are the dishonest guys, but they've kept it on the down low long enough that Mercer really couldn't identify who was doing it. Hmm. They're the dirty cops in your crime procedural, but they're good enough that they haven't been fingered yet, but they're not so good enough that they decide to pull the card with Mercer. Cause I have a feeling that, Mercer is not going to take that well, as we saw. Probably not the best opportunity that those guys took to kind of buck the boss.
Yeah. Well, no, for sure. They didn't come out walking. Yeah. That's just Sebastian. He's just, when he dies, however, or if.
Well, I've been thinking about this and I was mulling over this driving home from work and we saw, Deanna's son die in a fairly horrible way. But I'm thinking this is more of the guy that when Glenn did his dumpster Jesus, the guy that was trying to kill him, that is the one who actually got eaten. I think that's a good one for Sebastian, or the kid in the revolving glass door.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a good one for Sebastian. Because I want it to be Nicotero has extra money in the practical effects budget, so we want him to die as grotesquely and in the most grisly fashion possible. While it was apropos that Toby, you know, Toby took the short ride from the top of the building, that's not quite enough for Sebastian.
Yeah. Yeah. Make it.
Yeah. I'm thinking he needs the, you know, fall off the building and accidentally sticks one leg in the leaf chipper and it just slowly pulls him in and the zombies show up. Yeah. It's got to be, or even better. I'll throw one out from the comics. I want him to die the way Gabriel dies in the comics. You know, I want him to be dangling helplessly like an apple on a string at the Halloween party and get eaten. You know, I want it to be ugly. I want there to be compound fractures.
Yeah.
You know?
See every break, hear every snap, hear every chomp, blood everywhere.
You know, and have the high pressure nozzles under his shirt so he, you know, squirts fake blood like a fire hose. I'm just saying, I feel bad in a way that I'm wishing this on Sebastian, but his character is just such a jackass, and I want him to die horribly. I think everybody wants him to die horribly.
Yeah. Well, we shall see, as we always say.
I was going to say, so Kyle, after all that, what do you have for White Sauce?
Oh, no. Just a side or agreement. Yeah, Negan didn't wait to get busy, obviously, after he left. And I guess if this is what Renee said, it was like, this is probably about 3 months if Annie is, but, you know, that's how long she's pregnant. And it's like, so that's how much time has passed since, you know, they parted ways.
Yep.
But yeah, he didn't wait long. He found a community really quick and was like, hey, I'm just going to get in there and like, oh, let's start a family.
Well, or it could have just been he found the community and then it was like their eyes met across a crowded room and he heard violins play. And then later in the evening, he heard the Waka Chicka guitar in the bass line. Dong, 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 dong,
dong, dong, dong, dong, dong. That's when the magic happened. Waka, waka,
Sorry.
Oh, all good. Well, then on to really like kind of my one what was just the Walker Guts thing. Because it... You know, and I think I didn't know that was like something that was commonly known. And I even like Emma even said it was like their lack of experience with the outside, you know, of their own walls is like that. This would have been something that they was, if no matter it was tested or tried. I mean, we don't know. It's not like that couldn't be figured out, but it's not like they have that we know of. The Commonwealth has some like, you know, research facility or like they're thinking of things. It's just like they're kind of trying to go back to the old ways.
Maybe they had a VHS tape of the season where Carol snuck up on Terminus.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I mean, that's the thing. We saw this in season one with Rick and Glenn, and then we saw it in Fear with Nick. And, you know, when he was like out on his own or whatever, and he kind of figured that out. So it was just kind of like, it would have been nice to see them kind of reveal this in a different way. Like how they, you know, obviously don't call them herds. They call them swarms. Or like, you know, some people, like we call them walkers, but some others would call them rotters. So I don't know. It just might have been kind of nice to see this get brought into like, you know, when he says like, hey, put the guts on, or like, oh yeah, we know this thing of like, oh yeah, like put this on or smear yourself with like rotter guts and you'll become invisible. You know, just like something else other than just being like, oh yeah, here, this is just like a, I don't know. It was kind of like they could have played it a little differently so that it wouldn't have been just being like, oh yeah, this is one of the tropes that we know. That's like, oh yeah, everybody just knows that. And it's like, no, not really.
Yeah, because I'm agreeing with you. This like it's not like there's a copy of Carol Peltier's Guide to Surviving the Apocalypse.
Yeah,
or you know, that 101 ways to use a poncho. It's not something that it's something that we've seen our guys do a lot, but it's not something that we kind of took as a universal.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, it would just have been nice if they just kind of somehow explained it a little bit, even just like a little piece of dialogue saying like, oh, yeah, like smear this like that, you know, Mercer taught us or, you know, something just to make it kind of like, okay, yeah, cool. Okay, people have their own ways of doing the same thing. It's just, you know, it's what they call it something differently.
Right.
Well, that was pretty much it.
Well, if we're all done with the hot sauce, that means it's time for our sad and all sauce.
Aww.
Okay, we're going to kick off the I noticed the addition. The sad, awe, and potentially scared sauce. I'm going to start off with Renee from Atlanta, who says, the look on Little Herschel's face when he was looking at Negan made me so sad. The dejected look on Mercer's face when those Commonwealth troopers said they didn't work for him made me sad also. To me, the despairing and dejected look on his face said it all. The uprising is on its way.
Yep. And next is Emma from the UK, and she said, Negan protecting Herschel. We thought this might happen. Is he getting closer to redemption?
I would say so.
Yep. All right. That was all of our listeners, sad and aw sauce.
So now we've got our sad and aw sauce. And I'll start off by saying, I thought it was sad that April got T-dogged.
That was my sad sauce. Poor girl.
That, you know, we got a chance to meet her. We got to see her. We put her in the armor. And what does she do? She dies in a heap after all that.
Yeah.
And I didn't look it up, but I swear to goodness, she looks like an actress that was in some slasher movie. Just something about the way her hair was and the fact she had that big-eyed, shocked expression.
Mm.
You know, maybe they teach that in horror show victim 101 acting class, but she just reminded me of, and I cannot think, of course, I can't think of the original actress's name, but she just reminded me so much of somebody from some slasher movie.
Yeah. And she might have been.
It's like, yeah, but it's the fact we found her, we got to get to know her a little bit. We got to see her. They made such a big deal about putting her in the armor to get her out. And then she died. She died.
Oh.
And my other bit of sad sauce is I have to admit, I was kind of shocked and saddened by the fact that Herschel got captured. Because like I said, old plot complication from the good old days when Carl was all the time wandering off and getting in trouble. But I'm like, Herschel. Other than the fact I was wondering how he got in the truck and how he got there in the first place, it's he got caught.
Yep.
And immediately you have Aunt May syndrome. So now your helpless loved one is now a pawn to the action.
Yeah. Herschel taking over the Carl spot. That's basically probably it.
Well, Judith can't do it now. Yeah. I mean, she could, but Judith is a, you know, she's a little too Michonne-y now to do that.
Well, no, that's the thing. She's the little, like, ass kicker. So it's like for her to do something like that, it would be a little out of character now.
Maybe RJ would.
Yeah, that's true.
But Judith really can't, and so You would think that after everything that's happened, you know, Maggie would have put him in, you know, whatever kid class we have on how kids survive the ZA. You know, rule number one, don't get captured.
Yeah. Probably rule number like one is like, don't leave the safety of the,
yeah. Like, yeah. Don't follow the adults as much as you want to when they tell you to stay.
Like, is it common for him to just go take a stroll outside the walls of the hilltop and be like, oh, I'm just going to go wander around.
And again, like you said, it says something for the daycare at Hilltop. Someone is in for a stern talking to when Maggie gets back.
Seriously, we don't see that. That's kind of like...
It was your job to watch him. I thought you were going to watch him.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, that's... I just had the same thing. It was just April. So, that was all I had for sad and all.
Aww.
Yeah.
Well, since we're all done with the salsa, that means it's time for feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. Well, we got some voicemail from Emma from the UK, and then I'll just go right into her written feedback. So I will play that. Hold on.
Hi, guys. It's Emma from the UK here. I'm going to leave some written feedback on the Facebook page, but I just really wanted to send in a voice note and just say what an amazing episode this was. I'm really struggling to give it less than a 10, to be honest. It was just so full of wow moments. All the way through, I was just like, yes, Aaron. Yes, Mercer. I really think he's on our side now. And then things like, what? Negan's married. Annie's pregnant. And Herschel just turned up. What are you doing here? Then I was like, yes, Carol, you're playing Hornsby at his own game, just doing what you do best. And then at the end, suddenly Leah turns up. It was just one thing after another, absolutely brilliant. And I really feel like maybe the tide is starting to turn against the Commonwealth now. It's just the seeds of the tide starting to turn. So absolutely loved it. Anyway, hope you're all well and speak to you soon. Bye.
Thank you, Emma, for the voicemail.
Thank you so much.
Well, let's just get into your written feedback. And you are Emma from the UK. Emma goes on, she says, so Leah's back and she looks like she's gone feral. Clearly, she's going to cause some issues. She already has by straggling those guns. Is she alone or has she found others? We shall see. To be honest, I thought right at the end that it was going to turn out that Maggie has stolen the guns. That would have been on a cool twist and would have explained the scene we're waiting for with Daryl approaching Hilltop and Maggie looking down from the wall. Totally agree with that. I thought that was kind of my first thought when that scene or when that. Yeah, towards the end when that scene, I was thinking, I'm like, oh, is Maggie going to say that? But yep, it's not her. She goes on, overall, I loved it, had me on the edge of my seat, and really from all the twists and turns and great kills. I really can't wait for Sebastian to be brought down a peg or two, even more than I want that for Hornsby.
Indeed.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Emma, for your voicemail and the feedback. Yeah, definitely. I think, well, again, we just gotten two episodes, which have really been really great and like kind of been hitting, you know, hitting the marks for the entertainment, the like tenseness and just twists and turns. So I'm kind of hoping like we have two more episodes left for part two. And then depending on however long the break is, and then when we get to part three, like I hope they keep this going. Because this has just been really fun, and I know a lot of us have been like kind of, it's been back and forth where it's like, oh, this is a good episode, oh, this wasn't, you know, and it kind of was like slogging for a little bit, so I can only hope that they just keep this up.
Yep.
Well, next is Renee from Atlanta, and she has voicemail and also written feedback, so I will play her voicemail.
Hi, guys. This is Renee from Atlanta. Hi, Dieta. I miss you. Hi, Glennis. Hi, Amma. Hi, everyone. Yeah, I'll be glad when I get back on the Facebook group as well. I am so missing you guys, but Glennis going by really fast. I mean, it'll be over in just a second. It seemed like it's just started, but I want to call in and let you know, LT, when I tell you, you have my vernacular down pat, that is exactly how, if I was reading it, that's exactly how I would say things. That's exactly how I would pronounce my words. because you know you can tell when you're reading it that I'm using a lot of slang, because instead of saying thing, I say thing, and you said correctly. It is baby. You said exactly like me. So yeah, you have my vernacular down pat. But of course, I just wanted to call in about some of the things that happened on Sunday. I'm not going to go through all of it because, you know, my feedback basically says it all that, yeah, Negan has, I said last week that Negan was redeeming himself. And I was feeling a little, you know, I was leaning towards him a little bit more. But dang, this episode really made me lean towards him. I mean, seriously, Annie, she's so, like I said in my feedback, she's so endearing that, you know, she made a lot of valid points, because we everyone has killed someone that someone else loved. But, you know, they're really making Negan, like I said, seem remorseful. And I think for me, that's all I wanted. I wanted him to really feel bad about what he did. Don't act like, because I remember when Maggie asked him, you know, if you could do it different, would you? And then he proceeded to turn around and say, yes, I would have. And I'm thinking he's going to like, yeah, I wouldn't have did what I did. But he's like, I would have killed all of you guys. So, you know, he didn't seem remorseful to me. But last week in this episode, he really did. And when he had that little tear to drop, it really was, I'm like, okay, you know, like I said last week, all you can do is ask for forgiveness. And, it, you know, it's put in a sea of forgiveness. So I have to, you know, in order for God to forgive me, I have to forgive others as well. But seeing little Herschel's face, that was like really, really sad. It really was. And Alma, you are definitely correct about Maggie just leaving him. That's the same problem I had, like LT said, with Michonne and them leaving their kids. Like, that's in what world do parents do that? I mean, and then Sebastian, that's what I wanted to address. He called his mama a B-I-T-C-H. My son, I could never imagine. I mean, I'm pretty sure that he has gotten really mad at me so many times, but I just do not believe that my son will ever call me a B-I-T-C-H. My mother, I have really gotten mad at her, and I have never, it never even crossed my mind to call her that. And all because she took away his allowance. I mean, Joffrey, You are definitely right up there with some of the worst villains ever. Like, you're awful, and you're really awful for you to be disrespectful when it comes to your mother. That was horrible for you to call her a B-I-T-C-H. Really, that just took the cake for me. Because like I said, I can never imagine being that disrespectful, to my mother, or even thinking that. Never crossed my mind. I really don't believe that with my son. No one would ever make me believe that my son would ever think of calling me that or anything. But yeah, he's awful. Sebastian is truly, really awful. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the rest of the episodes. And Brian, I said Brian. I think I call you Brian. I don't know if I say Brian or Brian, but your name is Brian. So yeah, we miss you, and we'll be glad when you come back. I definitely will. I miss, you know, your personality, being on there with the rest of the guys. But okay, talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thank you, Renee. Always welcome your feedback, voicemails. All right. Well, thank you, Renee. Well, let's get into your written feedback. And Renee says, overall, another decent episode. I feel Carol better tread carefully when it comes to Lancey Boy, because he didn't look too convinced that Carol agreed with him, even though he said he's glad he has someone he can relate to. I believe he could be playing a con game just like Carol is playing one. Game recognizes game. I have no idea how Father Gabriel and Aaron are going to explain this to Lance, because they don't know he's the one that sent batshit crazy Carlson to do his dirty work. They think he just snapped, or do they realize he's in on it? And why the heck are they bringing Leah back? I never liked her character anyways. I am so over Lydia too, walking around looking all downtrodden. I realize she went through a lot with her crazy mother, but she has people that love her now. I don't know, mean to be insensitive, because clearly she has gone, has some PTSD, but she just looks so pitiful all the time. Shrug emoji, shrug emoji. LT, I agree with you and about Ezekiel. He's a dead man walking. Why would Father Gabriel say the Commonwealth is different than any other community? Maybe he means because they have ice cream. I roll. It definitely didn't take Lydia long to realize how god-awful they are because she said they're just like the Whisperers. They just wear different masks. Peace and love. Heart emoji, heart emoji, heart emoji. Yeah, I thought that was an interesting little kind of tidbit from Lydia because...
Yep.
I mean, it kind of makes a point. Yeah, it's like they're no different. You know, it's like they just wear... You know, they might just wear a different mask. And that kind of put it in a very, like... kind of a scary way to put it, but you know, she would know.
she would know. And just to sidebar it, I would be willing to bet, and I'd go on record to say, as my mother would have said, if your youngin would call you that, you'd smack 'em bald headed.
Yeah.
Now, I think the phrase that I used once was, I'm going to spank you so hard, my grand youngins are going to be swimmy headed. But that was in a moment of high anger for me. And of course I didn't, but anyway, yeah. Just as a complete sidebar, my daughter always introduces me as my big scary dad. So I just have to look, I have to just put on the game face and glare at people.
So. Yeah, you gotta like, you gotta put on the front if yeah. She's calling it out like that.
Yep. Well, it's the same reason people used to always say, every time I see you in uniform, you look really pissed off. And I said, total game face. Because if you look like you're serious and you're doing something, people don't ask you silly questions.
Yeah, they like leave you alone.
You know, it's like when I'm walking through the restaurant, it's like you got that. And, you know, the problem is my kids know. They go, Dad's putting on the angry face. And of course, then I always quote Tommy Lee Jones, you know, this is my happy face. But anyway, sorry for that sidebar, kids. We did get some feedback from Deanna from Detroit, who says, to be honest, a lot was awesome about this episode. OMG, how did the Commonwealth? How did they not know that our people don't play about each other? You cannot, will not threaten them. Daryl was going to gut Sebastian like a fish, and Rosita was right there behind him. Like, yeah, go for it. Carol and Mercer coming to help Daryl and Rosita. I wanted April to make it out with them, but she panicked, and we all know how that ends. She's got two shrugs, and we agree. Mercer reminds the two Sebastian flunkies who's in charge nicely. But the best part was when Carol tells Hornsby, and his response told Carol everything she needed to know. Carol has just transformed into our operative Carol, and I'm here for it. She says, Negan saves little Herschel after he was found hiding in the truck. Negan promises to make sure he remains safe, but Herschel realizes who Negan is, gets a gun, and wants to take him out. How did he get a gun, and whose gun was that? Thought they didn't have any weapons. Aaron asking Negan if he had anything to do with the skulls on the wall. And she's got some laughing face emojis. And the side note, we'll add that to our other kid thing. It's like, who gave Herschel the gun?
Right.
Who was watching Herschel? Deanna goes on to say, Negan with the classic line, everybody put their shit back in their pants. Which, you know, he's going to have a good line.
Yes.
Overall, this episode was awesome. They need to keep this pace up, and I can't wait until the next episode.
Yep, agree. This has been a great two episodes, so keep it up.
All right, and we got some feedback from Glenn from Toronto, who said, so the cat's out of the bag with Herschel, knowing that Negan killed Glenn. just when Negan had turned his life around and had something to live for with being married to Annie and a kid on the way. Negan should also take Lydia under his wing, also in Isle of the Dead, maybe, as she's hurting with his just upping and leaving without a word to her. Though I wonder what she was thinking about Negan when she watched on while Herschel had him at gunpoint. I mean, Negan could have easily just wrenched the gun away from Herschel in an instant, but he chose to talk down Herschel and reasoned with him that shooting him now would attract unwanted attention. She goes on to say, the assault on two buildings. A, Riverbend. Popping off the soldiers one by one and then luring Toby Carlson to the roof was clever, and Aaron shooting him multiple times so he toppled off and fell splat onto the ground near the others he had just pushed off the roof earlier, and then to be eaten alive by them was karma for sure. The Commonwealth soldier catching Herschel the stowaway, a little like Carl was the stowaway in that Savior truck. Negan both times saved Carl by stopping the Savior's troops from killing Carl, and in this case, saving Herschel by hitting the Commonwealth soldier over the head, Glenn style, and then showing no mercy and finishing off with the tire iron. Leah is directly responsible and put in motion the many deaths at Riverbend, all because Maggie missed the kill shot and Daryl let her live, since she's the one that stole the guns.
Yep. Left the, you know, didn't tie off those loose threads.
That is correct.
All right. Well, now she goes into the assault on the mansion. She says, just want to say that those Commonwealth soldiers' outfits are not the best for stealth, being white with bright red stripes. As if they have to fight the living at night, they'll be backlit by the white and thus very conspicuous. There ain't no camo for sure. So it's also good for a camo effect to put dark red zombie guts and blood on those Commonwealth suits, but Daryl and Rosita just don't look right in those Commonwealth suits. Yeah, agree. The Commonwealth stormtrooper suits, like.
Well, I noticed that Rosita and Daryl didn't have the neck guards on.
Yeah, that's right. They didn't.
They didn't have the big white horseshoes around their neck. And the two lackeys did.
They were just short, or they were in the dry cleaning.
Well, that's why Daryl always looks like his armor's falling off, because he doesn't have the big neck guard on.
Waiting for Daryl or Mercer to squash Sebastian like a little flea that he is. He is so inconsequential, but has so much power only because of who his mom is. I'm wondering about Sebastian's plot path with the absence of Rick Grimes, as it can't follow the specific comic plot line anymore. Which I don't know, and I don't know. Like, we'll just leave it at that.
And I do, and I'm not going to tell you.
Yes, no spoilers. Nice rescue by Mercer and Carol with plowing down the walkers outside the panic room. A little like Abram and company shooting the walkers outside the church when they returned in around season 5, episode 8, Coda timeline. Yeah. Covering themselves in blood and guts is being done numerous times lately, and every time they do it, I think of Rick Grimes. But they do introduce an added obstacle that then attracts the walkers. This time, the poor woman's armor catches on that walker, resulting in a free-for-all. Oh, poor girl.
Yep.
And then Lance Hornsby seems to know about Sebastian's side project, as he didn't seem too surprised when Carol mentioned it. With the missing Commonwealth people found wanting had been sent on the suicide mission, or Lance, if he didn't know about the money, made a mental note to ask for a loan from Sebastian. And then Mike from Asheville actually commented on the Facebook post that was saying, like, Lance knew about the money. He said about time when Carol mentioned they got it. And I was doing my rewatch today, and when he did it, he asked Carol, he was like, oh, well, did they get the money? And she said, yes, they did. And he's like, and he actually said, finally. So, it was, you know, he knows about it. And I... You know, that's another part of, like, okay, Lance, like, you're letting Sebastian, like, do all these, like, side things, putting these people, like, I mean, he goes on a little bit further saying, like, you know, these people, like, you know, came to me or like, you know, they had these issues or problems. And so like, this was one way for them to like pay it off or do, you know, do something. And he kind of put it in the point of terms where it's just like, oh, it's like, you know, people like not being the problem, but becoming a part of the solution as of how the whole Commonwealth works. So I don't know. It's just, it's very just enlightening of like how they kind of think how everything is supposed to fit into place and who's, you know, controlling what and all that. Just not good. They're a horrible way to run a civilization.
Indeed.
Oh, well, thank you, everyone, for all your wonderful feedback and voicemails. Did you have anything else to say?
No, I think we pretty well covered everything. Yeah.
I think everybody had such good feedback that it kind of covered any other extra things.
Just realized that, you know, we're running out of time for this section before we go back to the wonderful, mystical, irradiated land of Texas.
Yes. Which,
so I'm just thinking, you know, has Mercer had enough? You know, is Lance on to Carol? When they were talking about the scene where Carol walks out, you notice she had that definite, serious look at the flowers look on her face. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering what Carol's going to be up to next. And I don't know. It just, we still have some unresolved thread with Eugene and Max.
Yeah, that's true.
So we will see what happens.
We will see. Yeah, I feel like we're going to get some. I feel like we're going to get some answers and some, maybe a few small resolutions before we hit the break. And then, yeah, then the next part three, hopefully we'll be like, we're just going to hit the ground running and then it's just going to be like this big, you know, whatever the outcome of this is going to be. All right. Well, I guess that takes us into our news, ratings, and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
All right. The Walking Dead ratings this week. So season 11, episode 14, actually was a little bit lower. It was a 0.40 in the 1849 with 1.552 million viewers. 0.58 in the 25-54 and a 0.85 in the 50+. That was down from last week, which was a 0.45 in the 1849 with 1.789 million viewers, a 0.63 in the 25-54, and a 0.98 in the 50+. So, he actually kind of dropped quite a bit in those kind of, you know, at least with the ratings.
Interesting.
But it was interesting, though, that I like noticed that, like, Walking Dead's usually kind of like, you know, a little bit down the line on the ratings on the site that I check out that Brian basically, you know, that's what he gets these from. But it was at number four last week of original, original cable shows or whatever. So it was at 10 last week. So I thought that was interesting that even though it, you know, got lower ratings, it actually was like one of the higher ranked shows this week because I think everything was kind of down. So
you can still editorialize that. Maybe somebody was watching the Oscars. NCAA basketball championships were going on.
From an
East Coast perspective, the race was in Texas this week, so that put it later for us. So I don't know. It's just hard to tell.
Well, I just nice to see that was at number four instead of number 10. So that's at least, you know, to me it's like, hey, that's a plus.
Cause all of us really want the series to go out on a high note. So
yeah. Oh, well, all right. And then on to Talking Dead, season 11, episode 14 was down a little. It was at a 0.15 in the 1849 with 619,000 viewers. And that's down from last week's season 11, episode 13 at a 0.18 in the 1849 with 701,000 viewers. So still, I mean, if you look at it, and actually Brian's charts kind of show that it's like everything is pretty much stable from what they are. So it's like, hey, it's not like it's just like dropping and it's not doing well. It's like it's keeping the same number of like viewers and all that stuff pretty much consistently. So that's actually, I think, is a good sign.
Well, and you figure, I mean, if you, I was going to say, if you look at those numbers, it's what, only say 20,000 viewers less for Walking Dead and.
Yeah, like.
Maybe 100,000+ and change for the main show. So it's a big enough swing that we noticed, but it's not like it went from a 1.7 million last week to a, to fear numbers.
To fear, right.
To like 950,000.
Yeah. So no, yeah, it's still pretty much consistent. So.
Yep.
All right, on to the Parrots. Walking Dead stayed at the same at number 8 this week at 44.3 times the demand of an average show. So it's actually up a little bit more than it was last week, which was at 43 times last week. And, of course, remaining at number 1 is SpongeBob SquarePants with 68.1 times the demand of average show. Basically, it was the same as last week. And remaining number 2 is Saturday Night Live with 60.8 times. And number 3 is Euphoria, 50.1 times. I didn't put it in here, but I guess they do a different kind of like set for, I guess, original series or something like that. And
right.
Then Picard is like way up there. Is like, it just, I guess, skyrocketed. So that's good because I think Picard has been a great so far this, you know, season. All right. Well, the only news that I have for this week, and it was March 30th, it was announced that that was the last day of shooting for The Walking Dead in Sonoma, Georgia. And it's been 12 years and it's no more. So that should have probably been in our sad sauce, but I had to, you know, keep it in the news. But it's kind of.
Well, and it. It is. And I picked up several tweets today. There was one where they actually had a picture of somebody closing the gates at Alexandria and saying, you know, it's the last time we'll be closing the gates at Alexandria.
Oh, that's sad. And,
you know, there were several things from some of the actors involved that were making comments about how they were kind of broken up over the this being the last day of shooting for the main show. So
Yeah, I just, I mean, you know, it's not like that the Walking Dead universe is going away, but it's just, it's kind of crazy to think that, like, hey, that was, this was the last of this show. It's kind of, it is,
well,
what it
look
is
at it for, right? And remember, this is, we can also look at it as 12 years.
Yeah.
That is a pretty substantial run for a television show.
Yeah. No, that's like just nothing to, like, you know, not celebrate over, because it's definitely.
Well, we're sad that it's going to go, but they did stick around for a long time.
Yep. I mean, it's, when you think about it, it's like it's been over a decade of your life. Like, that's, you know, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Well, there's more to come. That's the thing. I'm not too, like, it's not like, that's the thing where I'm hoping that, you know, either though this chapter's coming to an end, you know, I still haven't finished the comics. So I'm like, I'm definitely have that on my mind to, like, get back into it. And I think I was like, just right after the Whisper War. So it's like, get back, get the comics. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's so much more that they can do. And so, you know, definitely we'll see.
Cause we've got, like I said, we've got the anthology show.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, you know, Carol and Daryl's big road trip. We've got, you know, Negan and Maggie and the Big Apple.
Yep.
We've got the submarine show. So there's still going to be a lot of content left.
All right. Well, LT, when you want to tell people how to interact with us?
It is that time. So we want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. That's at WalkingDeadTTM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group. That's facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadTTM. You can send us email. That's WalkingDead@TalkThroughMedia.com. If you want to send us feedback, you can use our feedback form on our webpage. That's TalkThroughMedia.com/feedback. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, you can call area code 216-232-6146. Remember that all of our new episodes are on YouTube. Just search for Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe and click that bell and additionally hit that like button. So if you hit the bell, you'll get notified when the new videos drop. And those videos go out to YouTube first before the podcast does.
And to support us, you can like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page. You can find that at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. And the best way you can support us is in our Patreon. You can find that at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. And we would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Clint McCollum, Renee Murray, Dieta Patterson, Guy over there, Lawrence Todd, and me.
Hello.
Kyle McAdams. Remember that Dieta, Clint, and Renee will be getting an early version of this episode this week. But it's definitely a good way to like kind of help support, you know, it costs money and our time, and there's the website and all that stuff. So if you would like to support us, that's definitely an easy way to do it. You can also subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or your podcast client of choice. And while you're there, give us a rating or review. You can also leave us a review at podchaser.com. And there you can actually rate individual episodes or the whole podcast. And as always, remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them, or tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to get us new listeners. On the network, you know, Brian Ruthie are still working on Discovery and Star Trek Picard. I have not gotten an update, and I don't think they've released anything, but, you know, they are still posting the feedback thread for each episode. So you can definitely keep adding, you know, your comments and feedbacks to each of the episodes, even though the podcast hasn't been released yet. So I don't know. I think Brian's still kind of, you know, still dealing with moves and other stuff that I think I thought they were going to get one out this week, but I'm not sure if they've already recorded. It's just editing can take some time.
Right. And they're still in a state of flux.
Yeah. But you can find them at StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com. You can also check out StarTrekPicard.com. And there's also the Facebook group, which is Facebook.com/groups/StarTrekTTMPodcasts with an S. And as always, you can support them with their Patreon at Patreon.com/BrianAndRuthie.
And I'd also like to add, just because they're a member of the Talk Through Media Network, is that Kim and James are still going strong with Rebinge DS9. And you can find them at facebook.com/groups/StarTrekTTMPodcasts. That's why it's plural. And also, they're on the webpage. So go to talkthroughmedia.com and you can see what they're up to and watching all of DS9 again. So, next week, it's going to be The Walking Dead Season 11, Episode 15, entitled Trust. It's written by Kevin DeBolt and directed by Lily Mayer. In the description, according to AMC Plus, as Hornsby marches Daryl and the troops to confront Maggie at Hilltop, Rosita investigates the Miltons.
So now we're getting that whole 6 months, whatever, time jump that we saw at the beginning.
That's right. We're going to find out what kicked it off.
Yep.
So, until next time, I'm LT.
And I'm Kyle.
And this is the Walking Dead Talk. Good night, everybody.
Good night.